to Acts. If you have a Bible, Acts chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, we'll probably get the scripture up on the screen for you. It's quite good, though, to read and to listen. To do the two things. Read the word and listen. The Bible is God's word, God's message to us, his voice to us. If you ever need to hear God, then you can read the Bible, because it carries the actual voice of God to us. And particularly the New Testament, if you read about Jesus, you really will hear God's voice. Isn't it amazing that we can hear God? I don't think we ever need to get to the end of the amazement of actually hearing God personally. And so we believe that this morning, as we're listening to God's word, we're actually listening to God speak to us. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, this is the words of Jesus. And he's speaking to his disciples before he actually ascended into heaven. This was after the cross, after he died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again in physical form, physical body, resurrection body. And he's just about to leave. And he says here, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now these are guys you'd never left home. Fishermen. Dad was a fisherman, granddad was a fisherman, great-granddad was a fisherman. It's in the family line, it's what we do. And suddenly Jesus gets hold of their hearts and lives, gets them following him, because he must have been, to them, amazing to leave everything behind to follow. He must have been awesome. In fact, he is awesome. That's why there are millions and millions of followers of Jesus Christ today, because he's awesome. He's the best one to follow in life. And Jesus actually kind of talks to these guys, never left home. And some of them even had their mother-in-law living with them. That's probably why they left. No. No, that's not true. "But you will receive power," Jesus said, "when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." You mean outside Galilee? You mean outside Israel, this little patch of land? To the ends of the earth? No Twitter? No Facebook? No TV? Just them, and them were ordinary people. Them were people who used to do carpentry for a living. Some of them used to be fishermen. I don't know what all of their careers, tax collectors, their favorites. They were ordinary people. And God says, Jesus said to them, "You're going to take this message. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to speak to people about what you have experienced me say and do in your life. And you're going to take this message about me all over the world." But in order for you to be able to do this, you need the Holy Spirit. You need God. And Jesus would have known they needed God, because they'd all messed up. They weren't perfect. They were a bit like you and me. That's why we need God. Because we can't even do the things that God wants us to do without God, the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, "You're going to receive power to be my witnesses." Power. He had great expectations of this motley crew. And I would say that as God looks at us today, because he does, he's looking at each one of us. He has great expectations. Not just because of you and what Jesus has already done in your life, but because of the Holy Spirit. He isn't totally relying on you, although he needs you. He's saying, my Spirit is going to enable you to get the job done. And so that's why Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait until you have received power from on high. And the book of Acts is an amazing book to read. And some people say it's the Acts of the Apostles, but I would say it's much more the Acts of the Holy Spirit through ordinary men and women. The Acts of God through ordinary people. And Acts chapter 1 begins with Jesus saying, you're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 is the power coming upon the 120 followers of Jesus Christ. And Acts chapter 3 and 4 is about the witnessing that happened throughout Jerusalem and the church that was actually born. Thousands, from 3,000 to 5,000 people. The power of God was doing something that people couldn't even have imagined. 5,000 people in a short space of time, that's got to be God. From this bunch of disciples. Not a couple a year. So the story goes on. After the church is established in Jerusalem and actually begins to fill the whole city with the teaching of Jesus. Awesome. The witnessing goes out to Judea. It starts to spread out a bit. And then into Samaria. The gospel comes and a whole city in Samaria is filled with joy because everybody hears the good news about Jesus. The miracles happen. God is at work in Samaria through the disciples. And then at the end of Acts, which is only a beginning, of the works of the Holy Spirit, Paul is in Rome. But we also know the gospel went to Ethiopia through the eunuch that Philip met. And so the gospel in one short generation went to the ends of the earth, starting with 120 ordinary people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Something about God made that happen. Yes, there were willing followers of Jesus Christ, but we see the reality of this happening in a generation where there were no cars. It wasn't easy to get to Rome. It wasn't easy to leave home and go and take the gospel to people they hadn't met before. But they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and that completely changed them as people. And the word about Jesus of repentance and forgiveness of sins was preached to all nations. And Jesus had faith in this motley crew. And I believe he has faith in us today. Because he knows that those who have believed and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and are filled with the Holy Spirit can see the same things happen in their generation as it happened in the early church. And you know something? We are unstoppable in the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I believe that Satan has a plan as much as God has a plan. And Satan's plan is to silence the church and stop believers talking about Jesus everywhere they go. That's Satan's plan. And Satan's plan is to make us so quiet, so introspective, so internalized, so focused on what you want God to do for you, that we never actually use the Holy Spirit, with reverence I say that comment, the power that has been given us to be witnesses. To tell people about Jesus. We all can make excuses and say, it isn't my job. And I believe that it's Satan's plan to silence the church. And he tried to do it in the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ. And we read about it in the book of Acts. When Peter got filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to preach. And this guy who was afraid and on the run, and wasn't even willing to stand with Jesus when he was crucified, deserted him, is suddenly changed into a different person. Because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And he stands up and preaches boldly about this Jesus who was crucified is now both Lord and Christ. He's the Savior of the whole world. And anyone who calls on his name will be saved. Amen. And this man then gets thrown into prison. And he starts to be threatened. And the religious people say to him, stop speaking about Jesus. And unless you do, we want to kill you. And Peter actually said, I can't stop. We must obey God, not men. God has said for us to do this. Who said it? God. And so we're not here to be rebels in every aspect of life, but we're here to obey God about the message of Jesus Christ in this generation. And so he says, no can do. I'm not stopping. And in verse 33, when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put the disciples to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered all the men to be put outside for a while. Then he addressed this religious court. Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Sometime Theudas appeared claiming to be someone, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed and all his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose and activity is of human origin, if their purpose and activity is of human origin, it will fail. So in other words, if this is people without God, it's going to stop. Just leave it alone. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. Go on, say that.
You will not be able to stop these men.
There were women as well, but the men were rallying too. So come on, men, you will not be able to stop these men and women. You can't stop it. He said, because if it's God, you'll only find yourselves fighting against God. What an amazing insight. And today, generation after generation, it has been unstoppable every time God's people accepted the power of the Holy Spirit to do the job of witnessing through their lives. And any generation that will claim the power of the Holy Spirit to get the job done that Jesus gave his church once for all time will see the results. And you can't stop us. Because this isn't of human origin. And it isn't human activity. It's God. We're in God's business. When we are all out there to be witnesses to our friends, our family, our neighborhood, whoever we meet, and to the ends of the earth, that Jesus Christ is alive today, that he changed my life, and he can do the same for anyone. And it's a promise, I believe, that we need to claim as the Church of Jesus Christ. You will receive power to be effective witnesses. Our own power, our own cleverness can't convert a flea. If you think you can get somebody saved, you can't. But God will use us when we are filled and dependent on the Holy Spirit to actually see people converted. I had the good news preached to me for many years. I heard it. I grew up being taken to church. It was a C of E church, and to be honest, there wasn't much life going there. But I still heard the scriptures were occasionally used. The message of Jesus was in there. It wasn't spoken with life, but it was in there. And my family and others in my family were real witnesses of Jesus. But one day, the Holy Spirit changed my heart. Can you remember the day when God actually changed you? Did a person convert you? It was impossible. Because cleverness, intelligence, human power can't convert any person to Christ. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that brings conversion, conviction of sin, the need to repent and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So witnessing, which is all of our jobs, if we're believers and followers of Jesus, can't be done without the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said we need power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. So it's beyond human ability to see people saved. It's beyond human ability. And I find that absolutely freeing. I find that very comforting because I need God. I need God for everything, actually. I found out the more I go on, the more I know how much I need him. But if we're going to fulfill what Jesus' plan is and his heart for this generation of people who are dying daily out there on track for hell and not hearing about a Savior who loves them and died for their sins and wants to rescue them out of darkness and bring them into his kingdom. If we're going to be effective, then we need the Holy Spirit. And we need to see a restoration of the Holy Spirit personally and as the Church of Jesus Christ. So that the Holy Spirit will make us witnesses. Say to somebody next to you, I really need the Holy Spirit to help me to be a powerful witness. But you can't stop God. You can't stop what God is doing all over the world today, in China, South America, in North America, all over Europe, there are people coming to Christ. You cannot stop. It's not human activity. This is God. People are coming to Christ all over the world. And now is our time to see people come to Christ here in Taunton and in the Southwest in numbers we've never yet seen. But it's therefore time for the Holy Spirit to be restored fully in our lives as believers. It's too serious a time to not be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's too serious a time to say, I don't really need him. I'm a Christian, but I don't need the Holy Spirit. If Jesus said we needed the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit. If Jesus said to get the job done, we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then we better get filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way we're going to please Jesus and get the job done. And we are going to get the job done and be unstoppable. And God is able to do this through his church. Now, what did Jesus mean by this word, power? Well, I can give you all the Greek words, but I'm going to be really simple. He means the power of a person. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power of a person. It's having a person living with you and in you. Jesus said, when I send the Holy Spirit, he will be with you and will be in you. And he comes to live in every child of God, every person who has believed in Jesus and accepted him to be Lord and Savior. He comes to dwell in their hearts. And this is the miracle of being a Christian. It's not just being forgiven, it's having God living in your heart and life. And God himself comes to live in you. And if we're going to have power, then it's because we have the person of the Holy Spirit. But when we receive Jesus, we don't just need to be new creations, because that's what he makes us, new people. The old is gone, the new has come. We become brand new people who are forgiven, loved, accepted. But we need to be filled with the person of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us like the early church, where they were so full of the Holy Spirit, they began to speak, which is also a miracle in our generation. They didn't start to just mumble. They weren't a quiet church. And to be honest, I think that's the plan of the enemy, is to make a quiet church, a quiet believer, a person who just is introspective about the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they all began to speak in other tongues, spilled out on the streets, and everybody heard them speaking in other languages. So in other words, it was audible. You could hear what they were doing. Speaking in tongues actually is a witness to the lost. I once spoke in tongues in a meeting, and somebody came up to me and said that was my dialect from my village in Zambia. You were standing there proclaiming the wonderful works of God. Well, I hadn't got a clue. I was just going, Sukurabahande esebreye sokobrahanda, sibraha yesobraha. And that person understood the language. God was speaking to them. Another time, a person who was leading on the keyboards, leading the worship, began to sing what we call singing the Spirit in another language, a heavenly language. And as they began to sing, they apparently spoke perfect Italian, not having learned Italian ever in their life. And as they spoke perfect Italian, somebody was visiting the church who wasn't a believer, and through the message, God communicated to that visitor. That's why we have tongues in the service. In the meeting, that person was communicated with directly from God, and in their language they heard God say, I've got a plan for your life. I care about you, and I want you to get to know me. And that girl was thinking about committing suicide. And God communicated through this heavenly language. Because we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. That's the God dimension in our meetings. And if I'm speaking loudly this morning, it's because I am excited about the Holy Spirit. Not because I'm mad or anything. I'm just passionate about God and his kingdom. And God doesn't want us to be quiet, silent, little mouses, little mice churches. We are lion churches. We come up, we rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we proclaim the greatness of Jesus Christ. We're not here to be little mice. Don't know what a mice church is. I've never heard of one before, but I just said it. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you have power. Because the power comes with the person who is God. He's not a feeling. And this is where we get messed up. We wait for feelings before we'll do anything. Do I feel like praising? Not often. Does anybody not often feel like praising on a Sunday morning particularly? How many of you have trained yourself to praise anyway? That's it. And those of you who haven't, time to get trained. Because it's always time to praise the Lord, which gives a vocal expression of praise to God. And so we don't live by our feelings. We live because we're believers in Jesus Christ and we do what pleases Him. So having Him means we have the power, but that power is available moment by moment. Right, now, think of a tram. Has anybody ever been on a tram? Has anybody been to Amsterdam on a tram? There's some trams in Amsterdam. And a tram is different to a bus that we have driving around our streets because they've got fuel and they've got an engine. But a tram actually cannot go anywhere unless it's connected to an overhead wire. And the power line is this wire that is over the tram that actually has this power source continuously. And you can't see, but there is a wire that goes across the top. Now, this part of the tram is the connection point to the electricity. The power is here. It's power from on high. And there's power in the wire. But there's no power in the tram. And the power can only continuously flow to the tram unless it's connected to the wire. And so we need to understand that contact with the person of the Holy Spirit, acknowledging Him, allowing Him to lead and guide us, allowing Him to speak to us, and invite Him to help us witness. I tell you, whenever I'm standing before anybody who doesn't know Jesus, I was just having a coffee on my day off, and this older lady began to speak to me. I just say, Lord, give me the words. I don't know what to say. Give me the power to talk to this woman. Sadly, she finished her coffee early, so never got there, but at least I prayed for her. But I need in that moment contact with God before I begin to speak to somebody else. But the wire actually is the power that connects. When we connect actually to the Holy Spirit and to the person of the Holy Spirit, we actually can see the power transmitted to move us as people in the power of God. There are conditions for receiving this power. And of course, one of them is this connection. And the second, which I think is really essential for us to understand about receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've already read it this morning in Acts 5, but I'm just going to say it again. Peter actually said that the power of the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey Him. Okay? The power of the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey Him. I don't think we realize the power of obedience. I think particularly as people who maybe have had an experience of the Holy Spirit, we've maybe fallen over in a meeting and always reference the power of God to being something experiential. Whereas actually I believe the power of the Holy Spirit, the secret of unleashing the power is in obedience to God. And that obedience is symbolized by the tracks the tram moves on. Because a tram will only move on the tracks that are already laid down. If the driver had his own will to go off town center track and decide to actually go on the M5, there would be no wire, there'd be no power outside the track. And you could say there's no power outside the will of God. Whenever we are connected to Him and walking in obedience to what Jesus asks of us, there is power for the will and purpose of God. And so if the driver decides in his own will to go somewhere, he will actually leave all the resources of power and go on his own strength. And I believe this is one of the keys to witnessing, that we need to understand that if we follow God's purpose and plan for our lives, there is power for that. But if we move outside the plan, there is no power. God will only supply power for His will. Tell somebody next to you, that makes being filled with the Spirit quite serious. Good, but serious. See, it's not just power to stop doing wrong. It's not power just to not be in sin, to not say the wrong things, not to be judgmental, not to. Jesus didn't save us just for the not to's. Let's cause a lot of restraint. Yes, there is a holy restraint on our lives to actually please God. We need to be a holy people because that's the track, that's the will of God. However, we're not just saved not to. We're saved actually to see the power of God happen through our lives. To see so much more of the same works as Jesus, and greater still. And Jesus actually said, you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. Now, I don't know if that's been very clear to all of us. But Jesus said, actually, when the power comes, it's actually to be witnesses, not to fall over. It's not just to speak in other tongues. That's part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that is a very important part because it's actually a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe the gift of tongues is for all who receive the Holy Spirit. Ask and receive, Jesus said. But it's not just to speak in tongues. It's power to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. So the power to be witnesses is in the tracks. What are the tracks? Witnesses. What's going to be the power? You're going to be able to receive the power as you witness. I don't believe that we will see the fullness of God's power in our lives until we are on track with what God says the power came for. On track to witness to our generation who Jesus is. But I also know in my own life that unless I do the will of God and live to be a witness where I am, I never see God work. Because the activity of the Holy Spirit doesn't happen until I act on what Jesus said to do. Jesus had 72 followers at one point in his life and ministry. And he called them to himself and he said, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to give you authority. And I want you to go out before me and I want you to heal the sick. Says the same to all of us today because we've got power and authority to heal the sick. I want you to preach good news of the kingdom. Tell them about me. Be a witness. And they probably went, I haven't felt anything yet. I didn't feel anything come on me for that. Actually, current day languages, I don't feel gifted. Yeah, it's not my particular leaning. It's not quite what I feel comfortable doing. And Jesus says, you lot, 72 followers, off you go. And in going, you will see the power. Tell somebody next to you, in going, you're going to see the power. And these guys came back to report back to Jesus, and they said, it was amazing. Don't you want reports back like that? When you go, you come back, you say, it was amazing. We saw demons submit to us. We saw people healed. It was phenomenal what God did. It's only in doing what Jesus says will you see the power of the Holy Spirit. Not waiting, doing what Jesus says. Power to be my witnesses. And it takes boldness, doesn't it? I was saying to Academy guys on Wednesday night, been witnessing to my neighbour for many years, praying, and just recently it's been so different. He's asked me how I became a Christian, and I was able to share my story. And then last Sunday, I went home, and actually my meal was ready. It was pasta. You know how quickly pasta overcooks? Well, it was overcooked by the time I'd finished. It was really inconvenient to be witnessing whilst lunch was ready. And I think this is the whole thing. Are we going to be available to God, or are we just going to slot witnessing into, well, I'll do that then? It's not a program. Witnessing is a life, isn't it? It's people, actually. It's loving people enough to tell them about Jesus. And so the pastor was overcooking. And he came to the door. He usually brings some veggies. He's got an allotment. And by the way, he's also got a wife who always knows that he's coming round. Just in case you think that there's... The wife already knows where he is. And it's all pure, what's going on. And you know, I do believe in the right cross, you know, male, female witnessing. I don't believe that women should always just minister to women and men to men. Jesus won a woman of interesting reputation all by himself at the well. But you've got to be pure and holy and wise with that situation. So I'm talking to this guy, and he made a comment, I bet you were preaching hellfire and brimstone this morning. I mean, he's never made a comment on church or preaching. God is doing something. And I'm praying, Lord, what do I say now? I said, well, actually, I wasn't preaching, and it was all about grace last week. It was an amazing message about God's grace. And I said, I hardly ever preach hellfire and brimstone. And if I do preach about hell, it's so that I love people enough. I don't want them to go there. There's not judgment. It's actually, guys, wake up. Before you leave this earth, wake up. It's important. Your eternal destiny is at stake. And this man, he said, well, I believe in spirits. I'm thinking he means ghosts. And I said, well, I believe in spirits. Because every person has a spirit. And your spirit is eternal. So he was a bit, didn't think she'd come back with, I thought she'd shut me down. Because I'm not out to shut people down. I'm out to use where they are to lead them to a place. And ask the Holy Spirit in that moment, Lord, what do I say? And so I said, well, I believe there's an afterlife. He said, well, I'm sure we go somewhere, but faith is personal. I said, oh, yeah, faith is personal. But I know what I mean. You have to personally accept Jesus Christ. You can't go because your family or your ideas of what you might think will get you in. And I said, there is an afterlife. Yeah, no, totally. I said, and I just felt this urge inside of me. And it was the Holy Spirit. Say something about taking it further. So I said, you know what? We do a course. And it's a really, really good course. And it's gone, actually. We wrote the course, and I'm not saying it's good because we wrote it, but it's gone. We've had two prints, and we're going to have to go into another printing because we're out of the copies. It's called Life Worth Living. And we do a course. If you want to find out more about Christianity, we'd love to do the course with you. Oh, he said, I don't know about that. But I know that it's in there. Yeah. And I know God's at work. Yeah. And, you know, it's not like getting, you know, like a little bit of salt, just a little bit of witnessing at the right time and prayer. And the Holy Spirit, what do I say now? And how do we move this on? And that man is getting ripe to be reaped. He is going to come to Christ. I am confident he is. But it's just a matter of time. And I just need to work with the Holy Spirit on his program to win him to Christ. Not lose him first time round. But to win this man, love him enough to go on a journey with him to win him to Christ. But we need power. We need the Holy Spirit. We need him to tell us what to say and what not to say. And I mean, for me to talk about spirits and the afterlife and while my pastor's cooking, my mind's not on that stuff. It's on lunch. But I know the Holy Spirit. If I will rely on him, I will see him work effectively in those who don't yet believe. So important. But it takes boldness. I had to be bold with him. You know, when you get to know someone, it's more uncomfortable to actually be out there with the gospel, with Jesus, isn't it? In your family, it's much more uncomfortable. I remember when my dad was very ill and he had Alzheimer's, the beginning of Alzheimer's. And I was really concerned about him. All his life, he said to me, when I became a Christian at 27, he said, "That's all right for you, but it's not for me." And all the way through his life, to he was getting mid-80s, his memory was going, difficult to communicate with, and I was praying, "Lord, I need to know where he stands with you. He needs to accept Jesus Christ before he goes." And I went after a faith camp just to see him, and we were in the car, I was taking him somewhere. And he actually, his mind cleared up because I prayed. Yeah. You need power when the Holy Spirit, so you start to pray. He suddenly began to speak clearly. It's like his mind was restored for a few minutes. Isn't that amazing? Well, it is for me. Because in those moments, I communicated the message of Jesus, and he accepted Jesus Christ. He confessed him Lord and Savior, and he was... And after that, his mind went back to doolally. He's jumbled. But he clearly said, "Yes, I believe, and I accept Jesus. I know I will see my dad in heaven." And he's lastminute.com, but he got there because he accepted Jesus. But there's a power to witness. There's a power for your family. But you need to be bold and take the chances. If you don't take the chances, maybe the chances will not be there next time. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit. And Peter and the disciples, they tried to shut them down with threats. And I'm sure if we were threatened, you're going to go into prison. Just imagine now, I'm going to finish in a moment, we're going to pray. We are living in days where actually speaking about our faith is getting more difficult. Are we not? Anybody reads the news, you will know. Because of radicalized hate religions, we're a love religion. We're not a religion, we're a love relationship with God and with people. Jesus never came to destroy people, he came to save them. We don't call down fire, we call down blessing. But we live in days where extremity is being shut down because of fear. And I believe that it's going to get harder for us to be witnesses. Like the early church, they said, if you carry on, we're going to kill you. That's a threat for your life. You're going to lose your life if you don't stop speaking about Jesus. And they said, no, can do. I can't do that. I've got to obey God. I'm going to obey God. But what did they do with the threats? They went to prayer. They said, God, consider their threats. Like, we're not scared anymore. Because we've got you. I'm not going to live scared of witnessing. No matter how frosty the environment. Come on, church. We're not going to be shut down with fear and threats. We're going to say, Father, consider the threats. Stretch out your hand to do wonders through your servant Jesus Christ and fill us with boldness. Enable your servants to speak. May that be us. Enable me. I don't know if you want to pray that. Enable me to speak with boldness. So that your message can continually flow through my life. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. So it didn't just happen in Acts 1, 2. It happened in Acts 4 when they prayed. And this morning, if you want to be like that tram, if you want to walk on in the purpose and activity of God to be a witness to those God sends you to, then I believe we need to stand this morning and pray for boldness. And pray for God to fill us with His Holy Spirit so that we will be dependent on the Holy Spirit to win our world for Jesus Christ. And think of it. Of course, there are other churches all over Taunton. But currently, this is our family here. Jesus looked at about this number of people and said, yep, we'll go to the ends of the earth with this lot. Go on, say that to somebody next to you. God's going to go to the ends of the earth with us because this activity is unstoppable. Because nobody can fight God. And when we're in the power of the Holy Spirit, they can't stop Him. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.